Well, good morning and happy new year to you. It's really good to see you this morning as we gather on this first Sunday in the new year to worship a faithful God. A God who's been with us in the ups and downs of the last year, and it's been quite a year, isn't it? And who knows what 2022 is going to hold, but we have a God who'll be with us through every step of the way, haven't we? I hope you had a good Christmas. I know some of you have had disrupted Christmases. Some have had COVID over Christmas. Some of us have had visitors. Some of us have travelled. But it's been good, isn't it, to think about the greatest gift ever given. And that's sort of really going to be our focus this morning. We're going to be thinking about gifts and about our response. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Steve Gaunt, and I led a church in Marston Mortain, Baptist Church, for 13 years. And there were 12 of us who planted the church, from 10 from Bromham Baptist Church and 2 from Cotton End Baptist Church. And we led that in the school for 13 years. So this morning actually is quite unusual for me, because as we met in the school, we weren't allowed to meet in the school since it was March 2020. And so everything that we did was pre-recorded and it was put on YouTube. So for me to stand in front of you this morning and to take a whole service, which is something I don't always do, is quite unusual. I've taken 2 or 3 funerals in the time, but to stand in front of a congregation is quite something. There's a number of people who have reminded me this morning it's like riding a bike. It's something that you don't forget, but somebody else said there might be a few wobbles on the way. Well, I trust that won't be the case. Just some notices, just to say there's no evening service this evening. Just as you're doing, just a reminder about wearing face masks and social distancing, and to say, of course, that there'll be no refreshments. So if you want to have a chat with each other, if you can do that outside, please, that would be really good. In the notices, there's been a reminder about the small groups that meet. If you're not part of a small group, can I encourage you to really think about that? That's one of the places, as we spend time together, that we actually grow in our faith and we grow together. It's a chance to fellowship together and to learn from each other as well. And the details are in the notice sheet there. I don't think there are any other notices. That's everything, is it? Okay. What we're going to do, what we've done a few times in the past, is to do what I call a call to worship, where we're all a part of this. So you should see on the screen the word. If you could say the word, we'll say the words in yellow together. So our call to worship. Oh, come, let us worship the Lord and consider what wondrous things God has done. The Magi who study the heavens follow a guiding star. Oh, come, let us worship the Lord and consider what wondrous things God has done. The peoples who live in the shadows see a glorious light. Oh, come, let us worship the Lord and consider what wondrous things God has done. The Christ who embodies the world unveils the hidden plan, making us joint heirs of the promise of salvation through the gospel. Oh, come, let us worship the Lord, for God has done wondrous things. I'm now going to hand over to Michael for a time of sung worship.
reflecting on time gone by and time to come, I take great comfort in reflecting on the fact that we have an everlasting God, a God who doesn't change, he's the same, the years gone by and the years to come. So we're going to sing a song now that reflects on that everlasting God.
Really good to be reminded of God's goodness to us, isn't it? Children, I wonder if you'd like to make your way down now. And as you do that, Martin and Jill are going to come and bring our prayers this morning, but we'll just wait for the children to come down. Let's see who fights over the one that's got the arms on it. Okay, right, I'm going to ask Martin and Jill now if they lead us in a time of prayer.
Well, when I was, no, not your age, a little bit older, I belonged to a group at church. It wasn't our church group, it was a national organisation. And do you know what their motto was? It was yesterday, today and forever. Which is what we just sung, did you notice that? Very carefully chosen, because we're thinking today of yesterday, today and a little bit about the forever as well. Do you think you can cope with that? Because that's what how are we going to do our prayers as well. We're going to be thinking about what's happened in the last year, what's happening now, and looking forward to what may happen shortly. Okay? So let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have once again been able to pause and celebrate the birth of your Son this Christmas time. We acknowledge that we so often lose sight of the really important things in life and get sidetracked by much lesser things. We thank you that you sent your Son to be born in poverty in Bethlehem, and that he grew up to show us how to live for your glory and how to share with others your plan to rescue us from the grasp of the evil one. Please give us the strength and will to follow you throughout this new year and to demonstrate your love and compassion to our family and our friends. We ask this for your glory. Amen.
Father God, we come to you this morning and declare that your unfailing love and faithfulness have not failed us through the last year. Thank you, Father, for bringing us through many challenging times. COVID has affected us all in various ways. Some of us have also known other serious health concerns. Some have faced the loss of loved family and friends. Some have had considerable work or relationship problems. Father, we bring all our memories from this past year to you, asking you to renew and strengthen our faith in you and give us your peace. Your word assures us that your love calms our fears, and you are constantly our good shepherd, leading us and protecting us through all of our days. We trust you, Father, for this coming year. You are unchanging, unchanging in your love and your faithfulness to us. So we trust you, Lord, for this year, for whatever it will hold, and we give you our thanks and our praise. Amen.
Our loving Father, we bring to you this morning those who are struggling to cope with difficult circumstances. We pray for those caught up in the wildfires in Colorado, those who are recovering from wildfires in California, for those who fear for their lives in countries like North Korea and Afghanistan and many other places, for those trying to survive in droughts and famines, for those who are facing persecution just for trusting in you. Be near to them, we pray. Give them the strength and resources that they need, and help those agencies that are trying to supply food, medical help, education and support, and give us generous hearts so that we might contribute with our money and our prayers. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
And a final prayer for our community here. Dear Lord, we praise you for all your provision for our daily needs and for constantly making your presence known in so many small details. Thank you especially for leading us and Stuart so clearly this year and for working out your perfect timing for him to come here to lead us. We do pray for him now, that you will refresh and renew him and guide and direct him as he plans for the coming year. Please use him powerfully as he teaches us your word, so that our faith will be strengthened and we may be lights for you in our daily lives. We pray too for all of our church leaders. May they continue to serve you faithfully. Give them your grace, we pray. Lord, we do ask for your blessing on us all. May our children and teenagers follow you. You are their great big God. May we who are older learn more of you and your word this year. We confess that we need your help. We ask you to graciously lead us all to follow you more closely. Thank you, Father, for bringing us into this church family and blessing us in so many ways. We do also pray for the other churches in Oni and ask, Father, that you will use us all to be a blessing to our local community, in sharing the good news about our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we bring all of these prayers. Amen.
Thank you. Jill, I want you to stay in for the prayers, because It's so good, isn't it, that we can actually speak to God and God hears us. Isn't it amazing? We've got a God that hears everything that we say. And it's really important that we spend time talking to him, isn't it? In the future, he's the God who holds us in his hands. And so we thought we'd sing, "Our God is a Great Big God." Now, you might know slightly different actions to the ones that I know. So we're all children, aren't we? We're all children of God. Some of us find it easier to do actions than the others, but shall we give that a go, shall we? I'll try and keep up. Well, I might have to come down here and see if I can. And that's so reassuring to know that God holds us in his hands. Right, children, it's time for you to go to Sunday Club. Still trying to get used to the different terms that you guys use. I'm going to invite Julia now to come and share the reading with us this morning.
The visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi came from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Julia. The biggest expense for Britons at Christmas time is on gifts. Last year, the average spend set us back about £408, with women apparently spending more on average than men by £40. I don't know if that says anything. So I wonder what you enjoy. Do you enjoy giving gifts more than receiving them, or the other way around? I'm the type of person that enjoys giving gifts. I like to see people's reactions to the gifts that I bought, because I like to spend time making sure that the gift suits the person. Now, of course, some of the gifts we would have had this Christmas, some we would have really enjoyed. Some things that perhaps we needed or we wanted. And they were a pleasant surprise to us. And there others might have left us a little bit disappointed. And I think we had one or two that left us a little bit bewildered. And I was wondering if much thought, if any, was given to one or two of the gifts that we received. Christmas, as we know, is all about a gift, isn't it? It's about the greatest gift ever given. It's about the birth of Jesus, God's gift of love to the world. And so we rightly focus on that as believers, don't we, as Christians. But in doing so, can we forget to think about our response to the most amazing gift that was ever given? As I was thinking about the Christmas stories, I was starting to prepare for this morning. I thought about the Magi, about how they came and worshipped, and about the gifts that they brought with them. And as I was doing that, I kept having the carol In the Bleak Midwinter kept coming into my mind. It's one of those things I couldn't get rid of, and I thought, I'm sure this is what God is wanting us to think about this morning. And it comes from a poem written by an English poet called Christina Rossetti, and it wasn't until quite a few years later that it became a carol that we know well today. And I think it's one of the most sung carols around the world. And it was that last verse that kept sticking with me. It says, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart." And it's that last line that just seemed to stick with me. You know, we know the words really well, don't we? Sometimes we don't sing the carol that often, but we know the words so well. And the problem is that they can become so familiar to us that we can actually miss the magnitude of that statement. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. This is a challenge that calls for a response, isn't it? God has given us the perfect gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. He's showered us with his love, with his generosity, without us having done anything to deserve that amazing gift. In our spiritual poverty, we have nothing to offer him in return. What could we possibly give him that he hasn't already given to us? In our reading that Julius just brought from Matthew chapter 2, we hear about the Magi bringing gifts to Jesus. And there's just one or two things I just want us to think about on that passage, and think about the gifts. Before they'd actually chosen the gifts before they left their home countries on their long journeys. They'd thought ahead about these gifts. If this child turned out to be the long-awaited Messiah, they would need to honour that child when they found him. So they bought gifts in advance. They packed them carefully and transported them over what would have been hundreds of miles. This is a reminder of the way that God gives. God planned way ahead in the giving of Jesus. He knew that mankind would sin. So before time began, he planned to give us Jesus to save us from our sins. I wonder, do we spend time thinking about our Christian walk? The Bible also indicates that the Magi were very thoughtful in their gifts. Gold, the currency of kings, acknowledging that Jesus would be king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Frankincense burned in the temple by high priests whose job was to intercede between the holy God and the sinful people, acknowledging that Jesus as the perfect priest would do just that. And myrrh, a very expensive perfume used to anoint a dead body so that the aroma would keep away the stench of death, acknowledging the prophecies about the Messiah dying for the sins of all mankind. I wonder, do we spend any time with God asking what we should offer him? The gifts bought by the Magi were also expensive. They could have bought lots of other gifts, less expensive. Gifts that would have been easier, maybe, for them to transport over all that way. But no, they spend a lot of money on their gifts. As well they should do, because these gifts were for a king. The king. The Magi understood the principle of price. To be meaningful, gifts have to cost us. Not necessarily in monetary terms. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from our ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." I wonder, are we prepared for the cost of offering ourselves wholeheartedly to God? So what does it mean to give our heart to Jesus? There's no simple answer to that question. It can mean loving him. It can mean being devoted to him. It can mean asking him to be our Lord and Savior. It can mean surrendering to him or letting him reign totally over our lives. This morning, at the beginning of this new year, what should we be willing to give the gift of? I just want to share some thoughts on that. I think we should be willing to give God the gift of our repentance and holiness. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Repentance was central to Jesus' earthly ministry. God wants us to make sincere attempts to repent, to get right with him, and not to lead a double life, trying to follow two contradictory paths, his and the world's. True repentance is sincere. It's not just sorrow or regret for what we've done, or even about changing our minds. Rather, it's the changing of our wrong goals, aspirations, values, and behaviours so that we turn a complete 180 degrees from the way that we were. This means that we need to be aware of the devil and we need to resist him, to be sober and alert to his tactics and his influences. The devil isn't invincible. He can be thwarted. If we put on God's armour, we can fight Satan's temptations. We can evade the lusts of our heart and the world by running from them and not towards them. Throughout our Christian lives, recognising the need for continuing repentance and transformation is foundational in our growing in holiness. We might not be able to overcome all of our sins, but our desire should be to continually turn to God and be acutely aware of God's continuing mercy and the transforming work of his Holy Spirit in our lives. This means we're to be different from other people because we're in Christ. However, it doesn't mean that we're better. We must remember that we're saved by his grace and set apart for his service and glory by his election only. So we respond by drawing near to God and living a life that's pleasing to him, obeying his truth because we're chosen and precious in him. And this enables us to be conformed to the image of Jesus and to show love and self-sacrificing character. I think we should be willing to give God the gift of our submission and humility. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. For those who exalted themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. To submit means to obey. It's the surrender of our lives to God, so we're in his will. We're called to accept the absolute authority of God. It does no good to fight God, as Jacob found out. We're called to submit to his mighty hand, the loving, caring hand of God. God who is in charge of us. God's mighty hand is always his best love for us, so we become our best for his glory. The result is respect, cooperation, unity, community, and the power of his fruit at work. But if we don't submit, rather if we have regard or disregard for unity or no respect for authority, our sinful nature is going to win out. We have to see that God wants us to submit. And this is best both for us individually and collectively as a church. Being a Christian and a church is about relying on him, not ourselves. It's about his mighty power at work in us and not our own feeble ways. We're also called to have a correct understanding, aren't we, of who we are in Christ. Our attitude towards God will greatly affect our attitude in our communication and in our actions. And these will be revealed by the motives of our heart. We learn humility by the spiritual disciplines of being in God's word, studying the Bible, practicing our dependence on God, seeking his will, and spending time in prayer. Humility enables us to be a teachable people who are willing to have a good attitude of submission and a servanthood. People who confess sin and remember how Christ has served us, saved us, and keeps us by his love. In contrast, arrogance lifts our self-interests and our self-sufficiencies, which seem necessary and good. However, when we're self-sufficient, we fail to see our need, or we can fail to see our need for spiritual growth, and self can become the God. Humility means that we trust God to direct our lives. And when he is in control, we do not need to worry. And thirdly, I think we should be willing to give God the gift of our worship and witness. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deed among all peoples. Christian witness could be thought of as joining in that song described in the psalm. In words and deeds, we proclaim his salvation day after day and declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. If we want to ask how successful our witness is, its success, I think, can be measured by how well it sings that song. How richly, how fully, how completely it points people to God and God's work. That's why witness and worship are intimately knitted together. A deeper inner passion to share Christ with others must be driven by our own discovery of Jesus as the centre of our joy and the object of our worship. Prime example is the Samaritan woman running back to a village to invite her friends and neighbours to come and see the man who just changed her life. The fact that the breakthrough in her encounter with Jesus happened during a discussion about true worship makes this all the more interesting. Her witness was fueled by her worship, and many others were made glad. God is at work in us by his Holy Spirit, drawing people to Jesus. And though we're called to participate in that work, God's loving grace is also at work before, apart from, and after anything that we might do. During 2022, let's be real. Let's be authentic. Let's be poured out for him. Let's have the courage to take our life into the lives of others by showing them the good news of what Jesus has done. We have a responsibility to live our lives as his ambassadors of truth and a call to fulfill the Great Commission to make disciples and not just converts. The Magi got their gift presentation right. Before they gave their gifts, they bowed down and they worshipped him. They worshipped first, then they gave their gifts, then they took the good news of what they'd seen and heard back home with them. Worship precedes witness. For loving God, worship is what gives the motivation and energy to sharing him with others, which is witness. I think there's a lesson here for us. We should spend time worshipping God before seeking him for what we should offer him. So, what can I give him? Each of the gifts that I've mentioned lead us to a closer relationship with God and to a life that's bearing fruit, building character and becoming more mature and thus more valuable, capable and influential to others around us. Remember, we may be giving these gifts, but these gifts are for our own benefit as well. It's like a child at Christmas who gets all the best presents and who has given little to others. This is what God has done for us. He's given us the greatest gifts that we could ever need or ever want. But if we refuse to give him, we're the ones who will lose out. We'll be controlled by others, by desires, by the past. We will allow our circumstances to get the best of us when we should be giving our best to God. So our lives mean something no matter what happens. In a moment, the worship group are going to quietly play the carol in the bleak midwinter. Let's use that time to think about what can I give him, poor as I am. To consider the gifts that we've thought about this morning and the impact of our faith because we've been transformed by the power of God. If we do, the result will be a life that's a gift, a life that's holy, a life that's pleasing to God and a blessing to others. What can I give him? Give him my heart. If you're here this morning and that's something that you've never done, no decision is more important. It has everlasting ramifications. No one else can make that decision for you. If you aren't ready, then nothing I say or do can compel you to come to Christ. But if you are ready, can I encourage you this morning at the beginning of this new year to know the God that we've been thinking about this morning, the God who is faithful, the God who is all loving. The Bible says to all who received him, to those who believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God. Why not become a child of God this morning at the beginning of this new year? If that's spoken to you in any way, then please come and find me afterwards and I'd love to pray with you. or one of the worship group, somebody that you've seen up front. Now is the time to do that. Time is short. For all we know, Jesus might return this year. We just don't know, do we? So let's spend a little bit of time now in reflection. It's going to be a slide that comes up on the screen. And there's a question for us to think about. And I'll hand over to the worship group. Can I encourage us at the beginning of this new year to actually stop and take stock of our Christian walk? We can sort of go from one year to the next, really, can't we? And things just continue. It's good on a regular basis, I think, just to be able to, just in quiet, seek God and say, what is it that I need to change? We all have things. None of us are perfect. We all have things that we need to work on with God, aren't we? God's in the process of transformation in our lives, thank goodness, through the power of his Spirit. So can I encourage us to do that this year? Thank you, Jill, that you prayed for Stuart. Because I was going to do that now. He sent me a lovely email, bless him. And I really pray that God would bless his ministry this year. And that God would bless this church. That we'd be a church that walks step in step with him, who listens to everything that he wants us to do, and that we're obedient, and that we're strong and courageous, and do what he calls us to do. We were in a marvellous place within this town as you walk past. It never amazes me as you walk past the doors of the church where this church has been placed. It's been placed here for a reason. And each one of us is here for a particular reason at this time. And we need to discover what that is and what God is calling each one of us to do. Just to say, and I know Stuart is aware of this, that there's a small team of people, small group of people that have been meeting over the last month or so. We've been meeting with a number of folk from St. Peter and St. Paul praying for the town. Both Stuart and Richard have given their a blessing to this. And it meets, we meet every couple of weeks, 2 o'clock at Ed and Ann's, and there'll be a prayer meeting. It's about an hour, just to pray for this town, to pray that the Spirit would move through the town, that many would come to faith. If that's something that you'd like to be a part of, and if you want to see Ed later on, or Joel, or myself, it's really important that we do that. It's a part of what we can do, isn't it? So let me encourage you in that respect as well. We're going to finish our time together as we sing the hymn, Love So Amazing, So Divine. It's that wonderful hymn, As I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Go now as a light to the nations. Honour the Lord. Preach what you know of the risen Christ and fulfil all righteousness. And may God strengthen you and bless you with peace. May Christ Jesus bring forth justice for you and among you. And may the Holy Spirit alight on you and affirm you as God's beloved ones. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.